Translation. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is a prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists." Okay, there's an invocation here to this second chapter. So I read the invocation and the purport. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om. Oh my Lord,
Namaha,
my respectful obeisance is unto you. Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead. Vasudevaya, unto Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Translation. Oh my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. Vasudevaya means to Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Since by chanting the name of Krishna, Vasudev can achieve all good results of charity, austerity and penance. It is to be understood that by chanting of this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the author or the speaker or any one of the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam is offering respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the principles of creation are described, and thus the first canto may be called creation. Similarly, in the second canto, the post-creation cosmic manifestation is described. The different planetary systems are described in the second canto as different parts of the universal body of the Lord. For this reason, the second canto may be called the cosmic manifestation. First canto may be called creation, and the second canto may be called the cosmic manifestation. There are 10 chapters in the second chapter, and in these 10 chapters, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the different symptoms of this purpose are narrated. The first chapter describes the glories of chanting, and it hints at the process by which the neophyte devotees may perform meditation on the universal form of the Lord. In the first verse, Shukadeva Goswami replies to the question of Maharaj Parikshit, who asked him about one's duties at the point of death. Maharaj Parikshit was glad to receive Shukadeva Goswami, and he was proud of being a descendant of Arjuna, the intimate friend of Krishna. Personally, he was very humble and meek, but he expressed his gladness that Lord Krishna was very kind to his grandfathers, the sons of Pandu, especially his own grandfather, Arjuna. And, because Lord Krishna was always pleased with Maharaj Parikshit's family, at the verge of Maharaj Parikshit's death, Shukadeva Goswami was sent to help him in the process of self-realization. Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee of Lord Krishna from his childhood, so he had natural affection for Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami could understand his devotion, and therefore he welcomed the questions about the king's duty. Because the king hinted that worship of Lord Krishna is the ultimate function of every living entity, Sukadeva Goswami welcomed the suggestion and said, "Because you have raised questions about Krishna, your question is most glorious." The translation of the first verse is as follows. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, your question is glorious because it is beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved of by all transcendentalists." Purport. Even the very question is so nice that it is the best subject matter for hearing. Simply by such questioning and hearing, one can achieve the highest perfectional stage of life. Because Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Person, Any question about him is original and perfect. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the highest perfection of life is to achieve the transcendental loving service of Krishna. Because questions and answers about Krishna elevate one onto that transcendental position, the questions of Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna philosophy are greatly glorified. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to absorb his mind completely in Krishna. And such absorption can be effected simply by hearing about the uncommon activities of Krishna. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that simply by understanding the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's appearance, disappearance and activities, one can immediately return home back to Godhead and never come back to this miserable condition of material existence. It is very auspicious, therefore, to hear always about Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadeva Goswami to narrate the activities of Krishna so that he could engage his mind in Krishna. The activities of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself. As long as one is engaged in hearing such transcendental activities of Krishna, he remains aloof from the conditioned life of material existence. The topics of Lord Krishna are so auspicious that they purify the speaker, the hearer, and the inquirer. They are compared to the Ganges water which flow from the toe of Lord Krishna. Wherever the Ganges waters go, they purify the land and the person who bathes in them. Similarly, Krishna Katha, or the topics of Krishna, are so pure that wherever they are spoken, the place, the hearer, the inquirer, the speaker, and all concerned become purified. Om Agyan Simranda Sajananjana Nishlakya Takshuram Nandatandhinu Tasmaya Sri Guru. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here the invocation is starting with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's meant to invoke all auspiciousness. And Prabhupada points out, simply chanting the name of Krishna or Vasudev, all auspiciousness is invoked. And then one can achieve his desired results. One can achieve all the good results of charity, austerity and penance. By chanting the name of Krishna. So generally people in this world, they want some result from their austerities. So therefore austerities, charity, penances are recommended. Thank you. They're recommended because they purify everyone, and they shouldn't be given up. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, they shouldn't be given up because they purify everyone. And they keep a person in contact with Krishna. The idea is that you're invoking the presence of Krishna because that's all auspicious. So even you want material gain, or you want to enjoy in the material world, or at least live in the material world peaceably and enjoy it to the best extent, then follow the Vedic principles. Krishna's recommended that. Because why the principles, Vedic principles? Because you always start with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. You always start with worshipping Krishna. Any jagra, any performance, any worship, even demigod worship, then Shalagram Srila must be worshipped, which means they're going to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. They're going to chant the names of Krishna. So then all auspiciousness is evoked. So here, because now the Bhagavatam actually is beginning at this point, the answering of the question that is setting the scene for Bhagavatam. What is the duty of a person who is about to die? So here now Shukadeva Goswami is actually speaking, and the first thing he's starting off with, he's praising the speaker for his beautiful questions. It's glorious, he's saying, because it is so beneficial for everyone. So this is nice. This is devotee interaction. He's not coming there because he's because Sukadeva Goswami is the most learned person. So I will come and I will give everybody knowledge. No, the first thing it establishes is that relationship with devotee. Oh, your question is so nice. It's not just me up here. I'm going to speak Bhagavatam and everyone's... No. Your approach is so nice. It's so nice. Because it's related to Krishna. You're giving me enthusiasm. It's not that me who's going to enlighten the whole world. No. Actually, you're giving me enthusiasm to speak. So it's very reciprocal. Sukadeva Goswami is seeing... he's appearing because he's a great devotee. Otherwise, he may not even have appeared if it was just some, you know, some jnani searching after knowledge. But because Shukadeva is a great devotee, he knows this, so he's appearing. And his first words are a loving exchange with devotee. You're such a nice devotee. Why? Because you're asking about Krishna. And that question also, it's not simply for your own salvation or satisfaction. It's for the welfare of everyone. Because whoever hears this will get benefit. And you know that as a king, because actually the main duty of a king is to make sure the citizens are happy. Krishna said, it quotes in the Krishna book, probably after when he released all the kings from Bhumasura. He gave them instruction. Your first instruction, make sure all the citizens are happy. That's your business as a king, otherwise you shouldn't be in the position of a king. It's an enjoying position, but your main objective is to make all the citizens happy, because by that happiness then you'll be happy. So to benefit the citizens is the duty of the king. But now Sukadeva Goswami is saying, now I'm going to tell you, because of your inquiries, and you're inquiring also, what is the actual real beneficial purpose? What is the real benefit for all types of people? Loka hitanam. What is greatly beneficial? What? Six Goswamis, lokanam hitakarinu, they were greatly honored and respected by all, because they researched all the scriptures and they gave the essence for the benefit of mankind. They didn't do it for themselves. They're absorbed in Krishna's pastimes already. They didn't have to take the trouble to write all these things, get all the paraphernalia together to sit down and study and research and get all the proof and evidence to convince everyone. They're already situated in Krishna's pastimes. I heard a story once, I don't know how true it is, but it's kind of a local story in Vrindavan. And the Emperor Akbar, he called some Vaishnavas to the court, and I think he called Jiva Goswami was one of them, or Rupa Goswami, I'm not sure, one of the Goswamis. And also Tulsidas I think was there. One of those contemporaries who wrote Mahabharata or Ramayana, I think it was Tulsidas. Anyway, he asked them, so who is, you have different lines, you worship Lord, you know, somebody worshiping Ram, Vishnu, and who is the best Vaishnava amongst you all? Who are the greatest Vaishnavas? So naturally nobody wanted to say anything, because Vaishnavas are humble. But he was asked, who's the best Vaishnava? I think it was Tulsi, he said, I am. So he said, why is that? He said, well, I have to study so much. I have to study all the Sanskrit. Then I had to, not only I had to translate into Hindi, because I wanted to present Ramayana for the Hindi-speaking people. So I had to go through so much trouble, all that study, translate it into a different language to present it to the people. He said, well, these Goswamis, they don't have to do all that They're not all that study and all. They simply see the pastimes around and they're writing them down. So they don't undergo the trouble. Therefore, I undergo the trouble. Therefore, I'm. So it's a transcendental exchange between the vices. But this was their position. Actually, they were witnessing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. They would, here and there, they would. But why did they go through so much trouble to present all this language? Because it was the order of their guru, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who told them to do it. And it was such a beneficial thing for humankind. So this is Vaishnava. He simply lives for others. Krishna himself also, when he's coming, he's also Lokahitanam, supreme Lok. He cares for the welfare of everyone. Krishna says, when I come, I don't perform like everyone activities like everyone else, because everyone else in this world is performing activities for some result. But when I come here, I'm not interested in result. What do I want? I've got everything. I'm not only Lokahitanam, but I'm Lokareshwarameshwaram. I own everything. So it's not necessary for me to come and perform any activities, because I don't want anything, because I've got everything. Whereas other people, they want something, therefore they have to work before they get the result. But I don't want anything. So therefore the only reason I come is for the benefit of others. That's the only reason I come to this material, is just to benefit others, otherwise I have no reason. And so Krishna is saying that therefore I don't become attached, therefore I'm free from this material entanglement. And also, if you know this truth about me, here it says you know a little bit about Krishna, his birth and activities, is referring to Janma Kama Michya Pitam Chami Divyam. You know the difference, a bit about Krishna's appearance and activities, you don't have to come back and take birth in the material world again. Same mood as in the, when he's saying in maybe third chapter. That because I don't perform these activities, I'm not bound because I don't want the results. But everybody in the material world, they want something from their activity, therefore they're bound. But if you know this little thing, it's secret about me, that I'm not here living for working for myself, I'm working for others, then you become as free as me. You don't also become bound. You follow my footsteps. You don't live for yourself. You live for others also. Then you're as free as me. You don't become, because you don't want anything. So therefore no reaction. So so like this is the Sukadeva Goswami. He doesn't need anything. But he's coming and he's speaking simply for the benefit of all the mankind. And he's doing it in such a nice way. In his nice relationship with Pariksha, he's glorifying the speaker. He's sitting in the exalted position. He's being glorified by the practice. The whole of the universe is there. But the first thing he does, he will offer nice praises to, oh, you're so nice devotee, you're offering such nice questions. Because it is so beneficial for humankind. So this is similar to the another famous verse, Bharata Bhumi Hoyali Shay Manushu Janma verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke that every person who is born in Bharatvasha, in India, it's his duty to make his life successful by understanding the science of Bhagavad. Become convinced of this fact. When you are convinced, you take it and give it to all the world, and you do good to others, para upakara. This is, you're doing good to the whole world. You'll do good to yourself and do good to others. Same message actually Srila Prabhupada got from his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wrote him a letter just before he left his body, 1936. And then he got the reply, yes, you preach this message in the English language. He said, this will do good to you and it will be most beneficial for others. So this is Krishna consciousness. The most beneficial thing for us is doing good work for others. And that good work is being described here, that giving them Krishna, somehow or another connecting them with Krishna. That is our spiritual life actually. It's not that we have to go in seclusion or always studying for our own spiritual advancement. Our spiritual advancement actually lies in simply giving Krishna consciousness to others. First you become convinced. And that should take one, I was going to say one day, but it should take 1 or 2 minutes. That conviction. Because here, Prabhupada saying, and last few purports of also Prabhupada stating again and again, the moment you take the path of devotion, you're going directly back to Godhead. It's just a question of sincerity. But you're going straight back to Godhead. If you're not so sincere, you may take another body on the way or two. But that the idea is you're going directly back because you accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you've rendered your life to a friend's service, and you're going straight back. So the idea is that as soon as you take the Krishna consciousness, the problems of life are finished. Birth, old age, disease and death, it's finished. This is what we learn, right? First thing, Krishna consciousness, you know, John, Krishna, we're going back to Godhead, that's it. It's finished, you know, material existence is finished. You know. One day, that's it. So that is our conviction. But that problem is finished. That is our main problem in the material world. That is everybody's problem. It's finished. The moment you take the devotional service, if you stick on the path, it's finished. You're going directly back. So then, what should be our activities? We don't spend so much time researching, studying and everything. It's already been done. And the conclusion has already been given. Chant Hare Krishna, be happy, go back to Godhead. So that it doesn't need so much research for our own spiritual advancement and how to control our senses and how to... Everything else that we go through, it's actually not necessary. If we have the conviction, we just get the conviction, and then our business is simply give Krishna consciousness to others. And the people who do that, actually they make more advancement than those who are sitting down and asking, how can I make advancement? How can I make advancement? How can I control my senses? How can I control my mind? How can I develop all these good qualities? The devotees who just go out and give Krishna consciousness and preach, they make more advancement than the others who are sitting down trying to make advancement. And they're not even trying to make advancement, they're trying to help others. This is the nice process of Krishna consciousness. I thought it was such a good thing that when I first met Krishna consciousness, because you're doing spirit. I thought here we was in Mayapur and we're building, you know, a big temple and city, you know, which is going to be so beneficial for the world. It's such preaching here when people come to this, see the whole, you know, you walk through the cosmic manifestations where Prabhupada wanted. You see what's happening in the universe. It's never been explained before, never been seen before, never been heard of, never even been dreamed of before. People are going to come in and walk through that and see everything, and you know, from the lowest planets through Indraloka up and end up in Goloka, and you know, when they come out there, they're just going to be woo. They will be, because it's never happened before. But you know, and it's such a preaching project. And what is it? You know, we're just here to put the bricks and everything down. We're not big mystics or anything like that. This is our service. We're building up the. He wants a city, it's something practical, you know, it's not just a meditation or anything. And I thought it's so nice because it's so practical, because how can I grasp all these things in the Bhagavad Gita and all these teachings, spiritual teachings, that, but you know, but there's some devotional service, it's all very practical. And just serving the people who come here, practically that's our main business. Our main business should be to just see the people who are coming and try to give them Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, you will not have to leave Mayapur in the future to preach. So many people will come. You know what happened last night? It was so packed up, they locked the doors. The people, I thought, oh God, what are we doing? Our philosophy is we're trying to, like anything, to attract the whole world to Mayapur. They locked the doors last night because there's too many people. I mean, it's fantastic that there's so many people. But anyway, just for a few minutes, I went down to have a look, but when I got down there, they'd all opened the doors again, but I guess they got a bit over paranoia, the security and everything. But there were so many people, just packed, so packed up that they stopped there. They kept the back, this back open, so they could only see in the distance a bunch of that room. They couldn't get in. I guess the brahmacharis wanted all that room for dancing. They wouldn't let him in. But that's good. Just shows how much we've got to expand already. They can't get in the temple. And they're really attracted to Sandhyartik, you know. They're dancing all the brahmacharis dancing. Like choreography. But it's becoming famous. Someone just told someone the other day that's in Calcutta, oh yes, I've heard about that. Especially I've heard about your Sandhyartik. We have to go and visit that. We heard about that. Everybody's dancing. So this is our perfection, actually. Of course, we won't have to get them dancing and chanting also. But this is great that they're being attracted to come here to see people dance and chant the names of Krishna. This is fantastic. This is nitty gritty. Hearing and chanting, but the Maham is Kirtan, you know, Brahm Vijayati Shri Krishna Sankirtan. It's the real nitty gritty, and we can become famous for it. We should expand like anything. But they can't build that temple big enough, actually. And they admit that. Because Prabhupada said, build that temple so 1 million people can pass through daily. I asked Gabiram Prabhu, can you get 1 million people? He said, no, no way. Only a few lakhs, not even a third of 1 million. That means in one day they can. He said, we can't do it. It's such a big scale. But like if you expand what we got now, it has to be huge, because already they're locking the doors so people can't get in. In the future, you know, it has to be huge. I said, we should immediately make a big, extend the size and let them come in here. At least accommodate what we got. But anyway, this is our preaching here. This is Lokanam. Hitakarinu. And it's practical. And we all contribute. You're sitting in an office, you're sitting in, you know, you're twiddling some incense and you're doing something, you're putting flowers in, but it's all for beautification, for glorification, for accommodation of the, and people are coming. This is what we want. Prabhupada was very concerned. He used to sit on the veranda, because his room was in the Lotus building on the second. He would sit on the veranda in the early evening and he watched all the people coming up the path. Just a little footpath at that time. But he would sit there in the evening and he would say, why are people not coming? Not so many people are coming. He would always say that. Why are people not coming? And sometimes when in giving class in Bhagavatam, why people are not coming? He would say, we have nice temple now and facility. Why people are not? He was concerned. So, like this is actually spiritual life. It's caring for others, but caring for others by giving them Krishna. Nothing else. I was talking to a young man here couple of days ago. And anyway, we started to speak a little bit of philosophy, and I said, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to be a scientist. I said, why? And he said, because we help people. We can make inventions. And this really helps the world progresses by scientific invention. And I said, you read Bhagavad Gita? He said, no, he never even heard of it. He never even heard of it. But this is the state of affairs, you see. He wanted to do good. It was good that he wants to help people. That was a good intention. He must be pious. He was a pious. He was a very young man, actually, but he was pious, otherwise to think like that. But then I asked him, what is his definition of real help? And then he didn't know, because he had never even heard of Bhagavad Gita. And the only real help he had heard is from his school, we got to build up India. Calcutta and make it the flyover city now, our project, You know what's going to happen when we build these proposed 20 flyovers in Calcutta? Every traffic is going to go so smoothly, you're never ever going to be stopped in a traffic jam again. This is their idea, already they got the flyovers, they still have to wait hours and hours and stuff. They got everything's well, nice flyovers, now we can get a nice car. And everybody got facility now as well. Before, you could only get an ambassador car if you waited a year. You put your name on a waiting, we try to get Prabhupada an ambassador. You put your name on, you got a waiting list for a year and you can get an ambassador. Unless you know someone up there. Gauga Muni pushed it forward and we got Prabhupada's ambassador at least. Didn't have to wait a year. But that was the state of affairs, and now you've got all these Chinese, Japanese cars coming like anything. Everybody's got more money now, so there's millions more cars now. So, you know, they're talking about making it a flyover city and improve it with our technical advancement. But, you know, the cars are increasing like anything and anything, and they're getting much more money. The kids have got cars. So it's not going to solve their problem in the scientific advancement. But the real welfare work is that understanding their relationship with Krishna. This is actually beneficial for because wherever Krishna's Prabhupada's pointed out, that place becomes purified. Wherever the Ganges goes, that place becomes purified. The land becomes purified. The person who bathes there becomes purified. The waters, wherever they take the water, that place becomes purified. Simply by living within 5 mile radius of the Ganga, you become purified, because Ganga Devi is always chanting the names of Gauranga and Krishna. So she's whispering there. It goes for 5 miles, so simply by living there, even without going to the Ganga, people are becoming purified. Even by seeing a person coming from the Ganga, wet, one gets liberation. Simply by remembering the Ganga also, one becomes purified. So, these are the purifying agents. So wherever Krishna is there, then everything becomes glorious. So this is the idea. Let's invoke Krishna before we start speaking. Let's invoke Krishna. Then all the topics will become glorious, because they're all related to Krishna. And this will be the best interest for the living entities. Today is the disappearance of Uddaranadat Thakur. He's one of the Dwadasha Gopalas from the name of that place, Saptagram, Hooghly district, before Calcutta. And actually, Prabhupada said there was some family relationship with his family, because the Malik family, Shivana Malik family, Prabhupada growing up in that community, he was part of that community. Shivana Malik, means gold. Suvana means gold. They were gold merchants, and they were very, very wealthy, like big landowners at that time. And that one king here, Balal Singh, Balal Singh. This Balal Digi, Pritukund, just before that big lake, before the Chaitanya, after the Jogpit, there's a big kund. It's called Pritukund. Maharaj Pritu dug it out originally, and then it was later excavated again by Balal Sen, the son of Lakshmana Sen, the son of Balal Digi, Balal Sen. So it became known as Balal Digi. So he was there at that time, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that community was thriving. So that king, he was borrowing money from the Suvana Manik family, because they were so wealthy, they were big gold merchants. And then he wasn't paying back his debt, so then the Suvana Manik, they stopped loaning him money, and he became really angry. I'm supposed to be the king of this district. And he became really angry, and somehow or another they lost their caste as like Vaishya, and he made them they're untouchable now, they've lost their caste. And then from that time they kind of lost everything. They lost most of their fortune and everything. But then again, Nityananda Prabhu appeared, and he accepted that their family members as devotees, and Uddaranadatta Thakur was born also in that community. And because of their relationship with Nityananda Prabhu, then again it said the whole dynasty has become purified, even though it became degraded. Again, it became purified. So it's simply by the association of Nityananda, or that Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though the community was kind of damned at that time, they became like sutra qualification, not recognized anymore. But when Nityananda Prabhu came, then all of their glory came back again, simply by the appearance of Lord Nityananda and his association with that family dynasty. It's also the disappearance day of Mahesh Pandit. Mahesh Pandit was living in Mahesh Ganj. That Mahesh Ganj, Bhakti Thakur place lives in Godramdeep. That area is called Mahesh Ganj. He took his name after Mahesh Pandit. He was staying there, yes. They're famous brothers. He was also one of the daughters of Gopal, as the 12 Gopal friends of Krishna and Krishna Lila. Associates of Nityananda Prabhu, cowboys. And the three brothers were living there. There's that incident when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a baby, he was always crying. So they would wake him up. They couldn't stop him crying. So unless they chanted the names of Krishna, then he would stop crying. So constantly he was crying, and constantly they would chant the names of Krishna. So all the time the name of Krishna was going on, and he would stop, and then he would start crying again. Name of Krishna, Hari. So then one day he was crying, they were chanting Krishna, and he wouldn't stop. And they said, what's the matter with Nimai? He doesn't stop crying. He's never. And he said, if you want me to stop crying, you have to go to Mahesh's house. He has two brothers, Jagadish and Majumdar Pandit. That you go to their house, they're making a big feast, and they're offering to their deity of Vishnu, you give me some of that Mahaprasad, I'll stop crying. He said, today is the Godassi. And they're making a big feast of rice and everything and all things. And I said, how is he a little tiny boy, a baby at that time? How he knows it's a codicil? How does he know that thing? And how does he know that people live out there in the other side of the river? So they said, Gopal must have entered into his body. He must be so pleased with him, he's entered into his body. So they immediately went and called the Pandit brothers, and they came and they gave him, he was so happy, they gave him all the Mahaprasad, all the rice and everything for Nimai to eat. So again, just simply by a little bit of association with Krishna, with Chaitanya, everything becomes auspicious and famous. Although Prabhupada points out here, he says the highest perfection of life is to achieve the transcendental loving service of Krishna. So this is actually the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the association of Krishna. It's simply to reawaken our love for Krishna. That's all. That's the whole purpose behind it. Here, Prabhupada mentions how you know something about Krishna's transcendental nature and his appearance. One can immediately return home back to Godhead, never come back again to this material condition of life. You know, and we were all saying that, going back to Godhead is, you know, back to home, back to Godhead. But that's not the goal, to go back to Godhead. The goal, what do you do when you go back to Godhead? This is the goal. The goal is that when you're back to Godhead, that's the place where loving devotion service to Krishna goes on. It's not that. The goal is not to go back to Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the goal, to achieve the goal, is transcendental loving service of Krishna. So that means, because back to Godhead is the place where it does go on. But if you achieve it here, it's okay. Same thing, you've achieved the goal even in this place. You don't have to go back to Godhead. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na janma na danma na sindrim. I don't care coming back birth after birth. But what do I want? I just want your causeless devotional service in my life. I want your transcendental loving service in my life. Birth after birth. This is the highest goal of life. This is the important point. This is why Krishna is there. It's not just to take us back to Godhead. It's not to get us our material results and benefits. Not to make us happy in the material world by worshipping Krishna. It's, the whole point is to revive our dormant love for Krishna. Prabhupada says here that the activities of Krishna are none different from Krishna himself. He just makes that one short sentence. The activities of Krishna are none different from Krishna himself. It's a very, very deep topic. Very, very deep. To understand that Krishna, the activities of Krishna are none different from Krishna. To understand the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna himself. It's a very, very deep topic. And the only way you can understand that, is by understanding it. It's actually, when it's revealed to you. Otherwise you can never, never understand. By trying to understand this one only, you can never, never understand how this non-difference of Krishna. Try as you may, you'll never come to that point of understanding this, how Krishna is not different from his name, not different from his activities, his pastimes. Because here, to understand Krishna is none different than his activities and his name, it's not that it's something that you have to know, but it's something that is very part of your existence. Because you are part of Krishna. So unless you know that you're, then you can't just know by knowledge, but you have to know it is part of your very existence, but now we don't know Krishna. It's none different than his name. We're not experiencing or perceiving Krishna. But actually, it's part of our very existence, because Krishna says, they are part and parcel of them. They're in me and they're mine. So actually, this non-difference of Krishna and his activities and name is part of our very own existence. But we're asleep to our own existence. So a miss is as good as a mile, they say. It's an expression in English. A miss is as good as a mile. It means if you're firing for the target, you have a target, but you miss it just that much. Well, you may as well have been a mile off, right? You miss the target. Drupadi was having a swayambara. Was it Drupadi or Satyamata? They had to get the fish. So who's it? Karna got the fish, but he didn't get the eye. He had to get the eye of the fish. So he almost got the eye, he got the fish, at least he got the fish. Arjuna got the eye. But he almost got the eye, but a miss is as good as a mile. You might as well fire a mile away because you missed the target. He didn't get his wife. He missed it. So a miss is as good as a mile. So like that, we may study and study and try to understand how it happens, how Krishna is non-different than... You're never, never going to understand. Until it is actually experienced, it is actually revealed. It'll be a revelation that then you will understand it. It's part of my very existence. It's something I can't forget. I can't ever misunderstand because that's how existence is. I am part of Krishna. So our Acharya is saying you're not going to understand by studying. So it's a very, very deep point. This Prabhupada just put it in one little sentence because. Even to understand yourself, we're studying about it all the time, reading about it all the time, but still, you know all about what is self, but you know, misses the goods of mind. If you're not self-realized, it's not there, it's just not there. You may have as much knowledge as you can get. Krishna says, some hear, that some speak of the soul as amazing, some hear about him as amazing, and some, something else. And there are those, even half the hearing, they can't understand him at all. Though even though you know all about it, so it's very still amazing, you can't. But that is your very existence, you see. But we don't know. We've lost it. But when you're there, that's it. There's nothing else in existence but self-realization. But now it seems so far away, so misses the Krishna. So it's like that. So then we can understand Krishna. When he is pleased, or someone is pleased, actually to reveal. And they're pleased by devotional attitude. And that devotional attitude is expressed in our line of Lord Chaitanya by Jiva Daya, which means the same thing as Loka Hitanam or Para Upakara. Doing good to others means giving Krishna consciousness to others. This is the attitude that we should, if we can develop, this is the attitude that then those who are looking down on us or can be kind, they will give their mercy when they see it, that we have the proper attitude. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the same thing in Namatitam. But when you feel the heartfelt need to serve Namadvipa Dham, he said, then at once, immediately, the splendor of the Dham will be revealed, the glory of the Dham will be immediately. So they're all pointing to the same thing. When actually one has a completely selfless attitude, he doesn't have to worry about himself. And we should become convinced of that, that the problem is solved. Now, just help others. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Jai Dvaita Goswami Prabhu Maharaj ki. Jai. Thank you. Sorry I kept you late, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Yes, backside. Yes. We should give everything to Krishna, but she's saying we've seen in our experience that so many devotees, they gave everything to Krishna. They wouldn't even buy one thing for themselves. They would everything. But later on, they went in different directions.
Yeah, maybe I'm asking to explain. So, for example, some devotees, they didn't care for them completely. They were doing also here and every day. So they, but when they needed medical help, and they were waiting for the temple help, and temple didn't give them, they were waiting for Krishna alone. And then they were disappointed. Before they told them, I gave everything to Krishna, everything. But then they were disappointed and offended, and they left it gone. Like this situation is different. Like, they didn't come, they had some desires, but they were not satisfied. My question, what is the right way to give everything to Krishna?
No, but the reason they left is because they stopped giving everything to Krishna. That's the only reason. The reason anybody leaves Krishna consciousness, they stop service, that's all. They make the choice. That's all. Because the temple president didn't give you your medicine, one day someone's not going to give you your heartbeat, someone's demigod's not going to give you your breath. That's going to happen one day also. What are we going to complain to the demigods? It's going to happen anyway. So. But that means we stop our service to Krishna. No, that is the conclusion. Not my conclusion. But there was once a meeting of many senior devotees, and they came to that conclusion. Why people are leaving? They stop serving us. That's the only reason. As long as they were serving, they were happy, they were transcendentally situated. For some reason or other, they stop. Don't stop, that's all. Don't stop giving to Krishna. Don't stop serving. Yes?
The other big hidden from devotees and spiritual masters, the answers are such a deep answers that really spiritually they can satisfy us and we can dedicate all our lives to such instructions. But still, it's such a material, difficult to hear from them again and again we have questions. So usually it is said when you're not satisfied and you have a need to answer a question again and the material from the spiritual platform again and questions. Is it proper attitude? Okay, we can regard the instructions which are really fulfilling and again we have this need to hear more and to ask some detailed questions. Is this attitude proper and
okay, is it necessary to keep asking questions? You hear once, you become enthused, and then later on you may lose enthusiasm. You ask a question again. Yeah.
Even if we are enthusiastic, but still it's so nefarious to hear them again.
Oh, that's different. that's different, yeah. You ask questions. Anyway, it's the nature of the Kali Yuga that we are forgetful. So it's good you keep and Prabhupada said, I put the same thing in my book again and again. I keep repeating it. People criticize me for it, but I have to keep doing it because we need repetition. Why I think I'm this body, because the repetition of 84 lakhs of species of life again and again and again and again and again. It's so repetitious. I really think I'm this body this time around. So we need something repetitious. Keep hearing repetition to take us out of this conception again. So we ask questions. We should ask questions. And those questions are mainly for clearing doubt. So that's good. If you have doubt, you ask questions. It clears the doubt. This is the whole process practically. Purification, 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 purification. To get you up there. Remove the doubt, remove the doubt, remove the doubts, and then you get, that means purification. But the other thing you're saying is that you enjoy hearing questions and talk. That's something different. That comes on the more rasika level. When you speak to devotees, you're churning nectar a bit like that. That's different. Just like, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna is saying, tell me more about your opulences, Krishna. Krishna, I just told you, Aham Savashtra, everything comes from me. What do you want more? What do you want to know the detail? No, but these details, I really relish every little detail for it. You know, I want to hear all these details. I know Hamsa, I know everything, but I really want to hear it. So he gets so enthusiastic, and Krishna, yes, I'm going to tell you all the details now. It's Rasika that are enjoying that. So there's two ways. One, you're asking questions to remove doubt. Another one, you're asking questions to churn the ocean. So both are good. Both are good. Never stop it. Question and answer process. Hi, Krishna.
In reference to that first Maharaj's question about why the devotees leave when they don't get assistance in certain ways after they give them everything, and I just wanted to make one comment. One aspect of that is the offensive to other devotees.
Is?
That offensive to other devotees can ruin your devotional grievance. So even if you're giving everything to Krishna, if you are offending the devotees, you won't find shelter.
Yeah. It means while you're offending devotees, you stop service. Also. Yeah. If you've taken time out to criticize a devotee, it means you stopped your service. Yeah.
From your experience, I think, in this holy dharma, what's the best thing that somebody who's a Westerner can say to them to encourage them in the spiritual path? So I'll be here for another 9 weeks and then what I should do with these people.
Prabhupada said when they come in the door, he says, you go up and touch their feet. Say, please take a book, sir. He said, any gentleman will not refuse. Oh, they come in. They will never refuse. Anyways. No, but otherwise, you can Even you're just talking to them, because they'll say, what is your native tongue? What is your motherland? What is your education? Things like that. So that they're inquisitive, so they want to know. But anyway, you just immediately speak about Krishna, something about Krishna, just some Jhana Hare Krishna. But even if you don't, even if they're coming here, they get some pleasure seeing them. Like, saw the side, went to the side, Mata, I saw the side, you know, they wear tilak. They chant Hare Krishna. But they're coming here, they're being attracted. Prabhupada's dancing white elephants, he said. Simply by that, you're attracted. You dance in the Arctic, they're attracted. Simply you're being in the Arctic, you're doing kirtan. You're enjoying like anything. That is preaching. They don't know what to say anyway. Philosophically, they won't ask it. Probably any philosophical question they'll just ask. What is your name? They said, what is your name? I said, you want to know my name or this body name? No, what is your name? What is your question? You want to know who I am? Or who this body is? Where this body is from? Or where I am from? But no, I'm talking about you. Oh, I'm from Krishna. I'm from Goloka. What's it Krishna does? No, what is your... And then suddenly, okay. Oh, yeah. I say, no, I'm talking about... You make it in a joke, by the way. What is your education? Well, I'm a grade four. No, you're coming from England. You can't be a fool. I am. No, you're saying you. What is your qualification? No, why you say that? No, because I don't know who I am. You know who you are? Yeah, who are you? Well, I'm Mr. Ghosh, and I'm a Hindu, I'm an Indian. Therefore, you're also foolish. So therefore, come and get our education. Now we're getting education. Therefore, we accepted Guru, we read these books. And to say something a bit jovial with them, they like it. They may forget it anyway, but at least we went and we spoke to the side then. Auspicious. Actually, fair-skinned is very auspicious in Bengal. There was a poem by Vrindranath Tagore, who is a great poet of Bengal. He wrote one poem called Gauranga. Gauranga or Gauri? Gauranga. Gauranga. But it meant, it's more than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, fair-skinned person. So they're attracted to fair-skinned. They like fair-skinned, so... Yeah, just say Hare Krishna to me. They like that.
I have a definite question about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to spread the holy name of the holy name. And can you say that he is the incarnation of the holy name of Persona?
He's an incarnation of the holy name. Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu an incarnation of the holy name of Persona? Yes. You can say that. They're not different. Krishna is the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ram is the name of Nityananda. So they're not different than Nityananda Ram. And Chaitanya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the Navadita Mahavani. They're identical. Oh, you can be in both. If you like, yeah.
Can it be someone in Vaikuntha and never go to Vaikuntha?
Yeah, that's all very rare. It's rarely, but Gopkumar, he went there. It's uncommon because your desire is to go there, so your desire is fulfilled. But you can go to both places if you desire. In perfectional state, whatever desire you can get, whatever. It's not. You become satya sankalpa, like Krishna. Whatever you desire will be fulfilled. So you can go there. Bhishma Dev. At the passing of Bhishma Dev, Prabhupada said after that he went to there's a planet called Parthasarathi, where is a Kshatriya spirit. So over there, and Kshatriya Krishna is there, and Arjuna, and little Kshatriyas are there. Planet, and they're all just for Kshatriya spirit. Or Shivari. That's the emphasis. So he goes up there, he goes there. Arjuna goes there. Arjuna's always with Krishna. He says, you was with me when I spoke to the sun god also, Arjuna. Because he's the intimate, eternal friend. But this, so these, he goes there, but in the, Nabadi Bhava Taranga Bhagavan Tagore has mentioned that when he goes to Bhishmatala, and it's in, where is that? Janodweep, I think. Yeah, it must be Janodweep. And there he's got black body like Krishna. He's got Krishna's sarup, blackish color. He wears tilaks and kuntimala, japamala. Tilaks, chanting the names of Krishna, Hare Krishna. Stays in Janadvipa. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur meets him there. But he says, when I was dying on the battlefield at Kurukshetra, then Krishna came there at the end. Because he could leave at will. Bhishma Deva, he could leave at will. So he was waiting, everybody said he's waiting for the sun to... So he could leave in the light fortnight. You know, the yogis, they live in the light fortnight. Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita, the light fortnight. He's waiting for the light time of the year when the sun changed course. So I think Mahabharat says that. He was waiting for that time, then he could leave his body. But he was waiting for Krishna to come, that's all. So he could see Krishna when he left. So Krishna so kindly came to him. And he said at that time, Krishna spoke something to, whispered something to him. He said, he told him that he's going to go back to his, back to Vaikuntha planet. He said, but because in your youth you came to see Janu Muni, you took instruction from Janu Muni who sang in Janadweep. He said, that happens to be in Navadweep. That's a very, very, very dear place of mine. Simply because you went there and took instruction there. When you leave this body, you simultaneously you'll get a body to go to Parthasarathi planet, and you'll get a body in Navadweep where you become a devotee, where you're a devotee of Gauranga. So he has two bodies. He's got a place in Vaikuntha, he has a place here in Navadvipa, where he's a Gauranga Bhakta. So you can get as many forms as you want, actually. See, the Nitya Siddhas, it's easy. When Krishna expands, he expands as Ramchandra, then Radharani, she wants to serve him in the mood of a king, so she becomes Sita. Then all the devotees, you know, Balaram, he wants to serve him, so he becomes Lakshman. All the eternal associates, say, exactly to suit his mood, they will serve. When he appears in the Brahmana family, he's Radha and Krishna. All the gopas and gopis, they all appear in Brahmana families also, with exact mood to serve him. So they have simultaneously two bodies, one here in Goloka, one in... And even the devotees of Gauranga, who worship Gauranga, when they ultimately attain perfection, they also get a body in Navadvipa and Goloka. But then you can have more if you want, specific, more. When you're perfect, anything you desire you can be fulfilled. Anything. So sometimes they think, wow, I'd really like to serve Krishna like that. These cowboys, you know, they're so lucky they can put their arms around Krishna in the presence of the elders. We can't do that. I really like to serve Krishna. They can get a body also. In the material world, you're changing bodies all the time, so why you couldn't do it in the spiritual? It's only a little reflection. That means something can happen here that doesn't happen there. You got 84 choices, 84 lakh choices of bodies here. Why you can't get a choice in the spiritual world, which is most perfect? Yeah, so it's possible. Anything is possible. Any desire you have will be can be for in that perfect stage.
we lose our possessions in this life?
What?
Can we use, if I want to serve with Krishna, I have some desires, some special desires, and I want to use them. Because now I think, I'm trying to follow, but I still have some desires. And I feel I'm closing myself. But now I think maybe I can just open and choose these desires in the service of Krishna. I don't know how to explain.
Not desire to get another body or a particular form to serve Krishna, but just the desires you have.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Like in this life, in this body, I have so many desires.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to close them.
Repress them.
Yes. Mm. But now I think it would be better if I open and I will find a way how to use them in the service.
Yeah. This is the whole idea of sadhana bhakti. We don't want to suppress desire, but we'll engage it in Krishna service. That should be there. Anything that is within the jurisdiction and regulation of the founder acharya, who you're following, as long as it doesn't violate any of his teachings, then you can fulfill all those desires and pray to Krishna, to engage them in the service of Krishna. Was there one example? I just thought of an example. When you were saying that, shouldn't restrict. You have some desire or some emotion, but you're trying to restrict it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this is supreme desire. If you can let this one out, then you can let all the others out. No problem. You don't have to worry. You don't even worry about all the others. But he says when you go to Nabadweep, Mayapur. He says you just simply raise your hands. You don't care for anyone or anything. Don't care about your social position. Don't care what people are thinking or looking at you and thinking, what is he doing? Maybe they're a crazy person. He says just forget everything. Forget where you just go to Navadip. You jump up and down and you scream and chant the names of Krishna, roll in the dust. Forget everything. All you're in. This is the soul's actual greatest desire. You want to roll in the dust and jump up and scream and dance. He said, forget everything. Don't worry about what people are thinking about you. Or they may be looking at me. I can't really. Should I put my hands up even? With gay abandon, he said, just fling your hands and scream and dance and give everything. So that will release all your other desires if you can do that. You won't have to... If you can do that, you won't repress any other desire. You don't. In other words, you don't care for anyone or anything in this material world, but you care for the order of Krishna Chaitanya. And that's all he's saying during. Just raise your arms and chant, dance in ecstasy. All other desires will disappear.
Can you tell me one thing?
Okay.
Vijayan Maharaj goes into the hospital. I heard it in his class. And he is so romantic, one lady. She was so sad, so unhappy. And he thought, maybe I must preach to her a little bit. And he was preaching to speak, and she told him all her life, very sad life, but she's very, very, very sad person. And he told her, he just checked Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He explained a little bit what is it, and then after a few days he didn't see her, and then he saw her and he asked her, so are you chanting? How was And she told, you know, I started to chant, but after 2 days, I stopped. But regarding my pleasure, why? Because when I started to chant, I was feeling so peaceful. All my desires disappeared. And I was afraid that how will I live without desires? And she stopped to chant.
There you go. This is like the, you know that fisherman, they pulled Lord Chaitanya out of the water, he was in ecstasy. He threw his net, he threw a big fish here, and he pulled him out, and Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. All his body was elongated, limbs were all dislocated, and it was long, and he'd been in the water for hours, and all his body went white, because he'd been laying in, and the fisherman said, ghost, that's the Buddha, it's a ghost, the ghost. Because he pulled the body out, he got transcendental ecstasy, he was touching Lord Chaitanya's body, he started shivering and his goosebumps and his hair was standing on end and tears and he was faltering. But he said, I've been touched by a ghost, I'm a ghost. He said, what's going to happen to my family when I go back? I'm mad, I won't be able to look after my family. Prabhupada said he was in complete ecstasy, but he was thinking, oh, I've been haunted by a ghost. So same lady, she was in complete perfection. She thought, well, what am I going to do without my desires? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.